Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that so much. I appreciate being able to have the opportunity to be here tonight. We have got to know some of you here at Freedom, and we're glad to see the enthusiasm that you folks have for missions. Every time I look in your bulletins and I see something about missions, and that blesses my heart. And I believe that missions ought to be on the heart of each and every one of us every single day in everything that we do. And so tonight, we're going to show a video. I asked Pastor, and I know that I think I've shown this before, maybe over in the fellowship hall. Perhaps some of you have already seen it, so some of you may not have, but it does go back the last 25 years of our ministry, and the ministry is now 26 years going on, and the Lord has been using this, not because of who we are, but because of who He is and what He's able to do. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to do this. I know that Joyce and I, every day is a new day, and we get up and we trust the Lord that He's going to work things out. This is a ministry that was told to us when my wife and I first started this. This will never last. Give them 2 years, give them 3-4 years, it will never last. But you know, with God's help, we're just glad to see that He's been able to do what He's done. And as a result of it, there's church planters all over the world that are planting churches that traveled with MTT Ministry, and God burdened their heart while they were on a team with us. And they're out planting churches. They're overseas foreign missionaries. Young people that are involved in Christian education, teachers, and people that have been planting churches everywhere. And we're really excited about what the Lord's been doing with MTT. And so what I want to do is I want to show this video first, and then we're going to share a few other different things. I want to give you a little example of some of the things that we do in our boot camp as far as some of our training in evangelism, soul winning, teaching people how to actually win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll share something from Psalms chapter 37, and I hope that it'll be a little different variation of what you heard this morning. So if we can, if we'll show the video, that would be good.
Surrendered my life. I remember taking my daughter into my wife's hand, and we went forward that night, and I told the Lord, as for me and my house, we're going to serve You.
About the first thing I remember is I ran into Joyce and Mom through Awana. I immediately latched on to them and asked them to be on my ministry team and help train and encourage people.
So the Landises got busy serving in their local church.
Hey,
also came to the Awana camps and helped me, including the older kids, the teenagers.
We actually took out our very first team as youth directors because we felt like the young people needed to be serving God. Once we got there, the young people got burdened for the Lord because they saw how people lived there and they realized that there was a need, and we learned a lot as well.
Following year, another youth team headed north to Nova Scotia, Canada.
Bob and Joyce Landis have been a tremendous blessing in the ministry there in Nova Scotia, Canada. God has used them in the lives of Canadian people in a wonderful way to communicate Christ to them and also to encourage the Christians who are there. Bob and Joyce have helped me at Forest Glen Bible Camp, as we have a program called Youth Mission Summit, and they have helped us in training U.S. teams who have gone out and conducted BBS programs in churches there. So we praise the Lord for them, the impact they've had, and their heart for souls.
I first met Bob Landis when he came to my office one morning and came to ask some advice and some counsel about the possibility of starting Make a Timothy Today, a ministry that would be used by the Lord to help a younger generation consider yielding themselves for the purpose of serving Jesus Christ on a foreign field. I loved the idea, even thought about the possibility of bringing the organization under one specific mission agency. Initially, my counsel to him was, you probably ought not do that. That could limit the scope of his ministry. I see such value in what he was going to be doing that it would benefit scores of mission agencies.
My wife and I started UPD Ministries back in February of this past year, and we formed a board for accountability. But we had a real desire to reach out and to be able to go in and work with teams all across the country. We're doing the same thing, the concept that Paul had. We're wanting to encourage and produce Timothy's for the Lord. Young people that have been sold out, pointed in the right direction, the right way to go.
Most everyone saw the change in these young people, and other parents asked when the next team would be headed out, and if their own teams could join. Over 130 souls were saved, 10,000 tracts were distributed, participated in 19 services, 3 Bible schools were helped. Out of 11 team members, 4 felt God's leading towards missions, 1 was called into evangelism, 4 believe God wants them in full-time Christian service, and 2 are now open to God's leading. Then MTT moved outside North America with trips to Romania, Brazil's Amazon region, the United Kingdom,
Ghana,
and Nicaragua, as well as Australia and New Zealand. Acquiring a tour bus made it possible for an entire team to travel together.
Since the days that he began training for the ministry at BJU, and we maintained some contact through the years as he would recruit men from the ministerial class and the student body to serve on their teams.
A 2-story addition to their home gave the Landis' space to house team members and hold boot camp activities.
I think their hospitality sets them apart, how they open their home to the young people that they're training right there in their home, serving them meals. It's just a very special situation. I think the zeal that Bob brings and hands-on training, and when they get to the mission field, no doubt they hit the ground running, and he's coaching them along the way. They're going to be involved in the church services, and so to have a person of the caliber of Bob and certainly Joyce as well to be right there with those young men and young women makes a world of difference in their lives. And you can tell the young people love them, and they love those young people.
Hi everyone, my name is Daniel Jenkins. My family and I are missionaries in the Gambia, West Africa. We've been here for 4 years. 25 years, MTT Ministries, praise the Lord. What a wonderful blessing it is to celebrate 25 years. I wish we were there to celebrate with you, but I had the privilege of traveling with the Landises on two different trips. In 2007, I went to the Caribbean island of Antigua. And then in 2009, I had the wonderful opportunity of going to New Zealand, and I was able to do so much ministry. I was a young person then, a college student. Actually, my first trip was I was a high schooler, and And so what a blessing it was to travel with them, and the impact that MTT had on my life prepared me in many ways for what we're doing now here in the Gambia, West Africa. But praise the Lord, it's a wonderful celebration, and we rejoice with you and all that the Lord has done through the ministry of MTT.
Congratulations, 25 years. And I just encourage you to keep on keeping on, investing in the next generation so that they grow up knowing how to love God, serve God, and be plugged in a local church and make a difference for eternity.
What a delight to have been to watch you over these 25 years and how you've given yourselves sacrificially, selflessly, with a committed heart and mind to developing these young people. There is no doubt that in the years to come, your influence has been multiplied around the world. Thank you for that faithful example that you've given to all of us.
Bob Joyce, I just want to congratulate you for 25 years serving the Lord and ministry as part of MTT Ministries. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And I've seen the word of Christ dwell in your lives for these many years.
Father Joyce, I would just like to say how much I appreciate and admire you for your faithful service to the Lord for all of these 25 years and beyond. And I just thank you so much for the example you've set and the blessing you've been so very many people through this.
More teams. More new places to minister. More young people challenged with the call to serve the Lord. That brings us about up to date, except for one important need. Oh, there'll be many needs for young people to fill slots on teams, for finances to get them to the field and back, funds to meet miscellaneous expenses, to keep the ministry humming along. But eventually, MTT will need someone, a couple perhaps, and maybe more than one, to take up the torch and train the next generation, in the next decade and beyond, for as long as Jesus tarries. Will you pray to that end?
Second Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And that has been our theme verse, one of them. And our purpose is to train young people how to serve the Lord. A lot of people say, "Well, I know that my kids know how to do certain things." And you know, the local church has got so many different avenues and aspects of ministry that young people can be plugged into. And so, and you know, when you learn from a young age, then as you get older, you become more confident. I have found out over the years, and especially I've been saved since 1965, that, you know, soul winning is not something that seems to come natural to people. If you know what I'm talking about, just being able to go up and meet somebody you don't even know who they are and start a conversation. And I believe that this church right here has a zeal for wanting to see people come to know Christ. But I believe that probably one of the reasons why most people are not involved in soul winning more today than perhaps they should be is because of inhibition. They're afraid. They don't know what is going to happen. They don't know what's on the other side of the door. They don't know what the other side offers. And one of the biggest things that is a drawback for many people is the fact of rejection. People do not like to be rejected. And I remember many, many years ago, the man that had a profound effect in my life teaching me a lot about the scriptures and how to win people to the Lord took that same principle of 2 Timothy 2:2. He took time out and invested in my life, and not only did he just invest and show me, but he did the same thing that Paul did with Timothy. He said, come with me. And I remember a number of occasions that he would take us out, me and several other young fellows, and we would go out and go to camps and perhaps parks and different situations. I remember one time specifically being in upstate New York, Watkins Glen, Pennsylvania, where they had the big race car festivities, and they had the area that you could actually walk up through the area where the falls and some of the things were at. And we would just go up. Now, the purpose that Bill did that was because he knew there were a lot of people that would be walking on that path. They would be coming and going constantly. And so, and that puts you in a position where you could go up and you could actually take a gospel tract and say, could I give you something to read today? Now, I don't know how many people in this church does this on a regular basis, okay? I don't know how many, I'm not accountable for what anybody else does. I'm accountable for what I do. But I will tell you this much. You will be accountable to God for what you do or what you do not do. And if you have the opportunity to share your faith in Christ with someone and you don't, the worst thing that person could ever hear from the Lord Jesus Christ is, depart from me, accursed, I never knew you. That's going to happen someday. That's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to hear that. So, who gives gospel tracts? Those that carry them. In the morning, when I put my belt on my pants in the morning and I get ready, one of the first things I reach for is gospel tracts that I can put in my pocket. Why? I can't give what I don't have. And I never know when I'm going to be in a situation that I can actually give a gospel tract out. Pastor has some things that he's going to go ahead and pass out here. And we'll probably, for the sake of time, we're not going to be able to go through all of it. But what I'm going to give you here is something that we actually give to the young people when they come in to MTT for training. We call it boot camp. People think of boot camp, what do they think of? Oh, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Boot camp. But you know, boot camp is a time that you separate yourself from the world and you are in a position to where you are being taught and you are learning things. And what we want to do is we want to teach young people the right way of being able to give the gospel. And this particular handout that we have two of them, but one of them that you're going to see here is one that talks about, and we do specifically this one, how to know you're going to heaven. That's just a wonderful conversation. I've been in bank lines before, and I've had somebody standing behind me, and I've turned around and I say, do you know how you're going to go to heaven someday? And people say, you don't do that in the bank, do you? you know, but you can do it any place. You go out to eat. Everybody has to go out and eat sometime. And you're around people constantly. You at the gas station, no matter where you're at, you're going to be around people. But I like to say, I like to be prepared to give the gospel. And so when the young people come in for training, what are the things we do? We have a couple of sessions. But those sessions are earmarked and geared for helping young people be able to figure out, okay, how can I witness to somebody about the Lord? And Because a lot of people have a fear in their heart because they don't know how people's going to react, normally what we do, we have what we call play the devil's advocate. So I break the team members up in groups of twos or threes, and the team members, what they'll do at my house, we'll have some go outside and some will be inside and some will go and they'll knock on the door and then we'll have conversation. And the people inside are the people that's going to be the ones who's going to be witnessed to. And the purpose of that is to give the young people an opportunity to start conversation. And I don't know if maybe communicating for you, that might be difficult. Just starting off, meeting strangers. I never really have met a stranger. Pretty much everybody I know, I get to know, and I know them quick. And so, but I am an A personality. No, rewind. I am a double A, triple A, or quad A personality. Okay, I'm not inside the box at all. And so I don't have a problem being able to go up and just talk to anyone. But I have a lot of young people, and I have young people that have said this to me. I can't do this. I'm just not comfortable. Well, you know, sometimes you can talk to people about all sorts of things. You could talk to people about sports. You could talk to people about what kind of little dogs they have running around their house over there. You can talk to people about all sorts of different things. But when it comes down to talking about the scriptures and giving the Bible to people, that becomes an area that really a lot of people have a problem with because they say, well, I'm not comfortable with it. The reason why people are not comfortable with it is because they haven't been spending time in knowing the scriptures, number one. Number two, in prayer, asking God to give them what they need personally so they can communicate with people, talk to people about this, that, whatever. And so, what we do, we split the young people up. Now, this particular list that I have here is what works for us, okay? And I tell the young people, I said, you know, there's four things in the scriptures that if you know just a few verses in the scriptures, you can win anybody to the Lord. However, if you know John 3:16, and it's amazing because I could probably point to almost anyone in here tonight and ask you to quote John 3:16, and almost all of you know that, you can lead somebody to the Lord with John 3:16. And so what I tell the young people is, we want you to get familiar with this, because obviously people don't get saved, they don't wake up and say, I'm saved today. It doesn't happen that way, okay? You get saved because, number one, you realize that you're a sinner. And that's how people come to know the Lord. And if you see this, that's what the first one is that's in here in this listing. You must accept that you're a sinner. Now, I've talked to people before, and people say, well, I've never sinned. I said, well, have you ever lied? And they, no. Well, you just sinned. So, you know, if you get familiar with Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, and so on and so forth, and go down the line here, and you see these, the first thing you must admit, the second thing, okay, because you're a sinner, there's a penalty to pay for it. You do wrong, there's a penalty for doing wrong. Unfortunately, in today's society, a lot of people are doing wrong, and there's no penalty for them. Isn't that sad? But one day, there will be a penalty for them that reject Christ. And then third, they have to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're a Christian, that happened to you. Do you realize because the men that heard Jesus say before he ascended into heaven, go into all the world and preach the gospel. When that was said to those men, and those men heard that, do you realize tonight sitting here, you are saved because those men took serious what Jesus told them to do before he ascended into heaven? You take it right back. Take it back to the very beginning. Someone told someone, someone told someone else, etc., etc. And eventually, the gospel came threefold right around, and you got it, and you got saved. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ because of it. You see, that's what missions is all about. And fourth, you have to accept by faith what Jesus Christ did. You know, it's not anything that you do that gets you to heaven. It's all about what he did. The supreme sacrifice is what he did. We just come through a very special holiday that we all celebrate, and that's Easter. And we know what Easter is all about. You're here tonight because of Easter, because he's risen. And we serve a risen Savior. So I want you to have this, because I feel that this right here, if you get familiar with these verses and learn these verses, and if you will, with God's help, and this is the way it's got to be, you've got to have God's help. You can't go out and do this on your own strength. Because I guarantee you, what do you do the first time somebody, you hand a tract to somebody and they take it like that and tear it up? Say, I'm not interested. You know what I say? I'm not rejected. You didn't reject me. You just rejected the Son of God. You had it laid right in your lap and you just rejected it. So I just go ahead, dust my shoes, and I just move on to the next one. And that's what we need to do. Don't be rejected or defeated. And this is something a lot of people have happened. There's another sheet that you've got here, and I give this to the young people for this reason. Many times they'll carry on conversations. And I don't know if you've ever been around trying to witness to somebody, but people get off on these different rabbit trails, and they'll do everything they can to get you from where you are. Now, you know one thing I like? I was born and raised up in a farm up in central Pennsylvania, and we used to hunt rabbits a lot. We used to have beagles. Anybody know what an old beagle dog's like? Anybody ever heard an old beagle dog? Now, you know, it's interesting. The beagle dog can take off, and he can take off chasing a rabbit and go this way. But you know, if you'll just hang around for just a little bit, it won't be long before you'll hear that old beagle. He'll just be, ah, ah, and you'll hear him coming around. And guess what? You may as well get that gun ready to go, because that rabbit's going to be right out in front of him. He's going to come back full circle. If he's a good rabbit dog, he'll bring that rabbit back. I say all that to say this: don't be rejected and downhearted whenever you don't get the first person that you talk to and they become interested. And don't let them get you off course of what the true gospel of Christ is all about. You'll see in here, these are many, many different excuses or different things that people will use. Okay, and lots of times I know people say, you know, I know in the Bible it talks about this. And the first thing you do, you say, well, hold on a second. And you go in, you get in your concordance, you go back, and you go trying to look and trying to find something. Well, if you get familiar very well with all these passages of scriptures that have to do with so many different things, and you'll see things in here that people will talk about, you know, they'll talk about the people that complain. You ever been around somebody, all they do is complain? I call that a big negative, okay? And so that doesn't uplift you. But the scriptures talk about different things here. Fornication, okay, hatred, hospitality. It talks about jealousy. And if you'll look down through here, obedience. What's it mean to be obedient? Rebellion. What's it like to have a sin of rebellion in your heart? You know, I'm not talking just about young people to the parents. I could be talking about the parents have rebellion in their heart against God. And so, and people will use circumstances to get them off course. And they'll use that. So if you get familiar with this and get familiar and have something like this that you can put inside your Bible, anytime somebody comes up and they have questions about certain things, give them the scriptures. I always say, do me a favor, don't give them a counseling session. Okay, they can pay for that, pay for high dollars and get that. They can come to you, and they don't have to pay a nickel. And guess what? You can give them the scriptures, and that's far better than anything else they can have. So, I'm leaving this with you tonight. This is something that we use in boot camp, and it's a lot more intensive because we have many, many hours from the time they wake up. In the time before they go to bed, they've got at least 12, 14 hours a day. They're constantly with us, and they're hearing all this, seeing all this stuff, being involved in all these different things. And they're learning how to win people to Christ. So, what I'd like to do tonight, and for the time that I have remaining, Pastor, he's given me a little liberty here tonight, so I want to go ahead, and I want to look at Psalms chapter 37, And we're going to go through verses 3 and 5. Now, I know that you already got this morning, but hopefully, maybe we can give you just a little different take on a few different things here tonight. Might I say tonight, each and every one of you that's in here, remember, it's not what you have in your hand that counts. It's what you're willing to give. You know, there's a lot of people who don't have a whole lot in their hand, but if they're willing to give it, God can use it. He sure can. He used a rod to bring the whole children of Israel out of Egypt. He uses the small things of this world to confound the wise. And might I say that if you have something that God has given you, use it for Him. Use it for His glory. So Psalms chapter 37, starting at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, best that I know how, Lord, I just ask you that you will take what I say tonight for your honor and your glory. Lord, I just pray that when we see this passage of Scripture, that you'll remind us of what we should be, what we should do, how we should react to the things that happen in our lives. God, I just ask you to guide and direct us and be with us in every single thing that we do and say tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight's commitment. I love that. What is commitment? We all probably have a definition of what commitment is. I could probably go ahead just point out and have several of you tell me what you think commitment is. But let me tell you what I think commitment is. Commitment is a pledge, or it's an agreement to do something in the future. Now, something in the future can be an hour from now. Commitment, that could be something that could be a year from today. But it is a pledge and an agreement to do something out beyond. Now, a lot of times we have an idea what commitment is. But let me ask you this. Without commitment, what happens? Well, let's look at some of the things that happen without commitment. Number one, without commitment, contracts have been broken. Without commitment, marriages have been dissolved. Without commitment, wars are lost. Without commitment, children are abandoned. Without commitment, buildings have not been completed. Without commitment, bills are not paid. Without commitment, jobs have been terminated. Without commitment, discipleship is non-existent. And without commitment, the gospel is not taken to those that need to hear. Now, you folks are committed. Why? You have committed yourself to missionaries to help them so that the gospel will be taken to those that need to hear. You see, that's what commitment is. But unfortunately, commitment is a lot of other different things. Tonight, we want to look at three things that commitment will do. Three things that commitment will do in your life personally. Number one, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What does that mean? It's a very simple statement. It just means that you need to trust in the Lord or have total dependence on him. That's what trusting in the Lord is, having total dependence on him. For those of you that are a little older in the crowd that don't have small children, but maybe perhaps you may have some grandchildren that are a little bit younger. If you've noticed how those children really depend upon their parents for everything, they're always looking for an answer, and they come to their parents with that. You see, they have total dependence on their parents. And God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He just says, you need to have total dependence on God. When you're out knocking on doors or talking to people in the grocery store or what, you need to have total dependence on God. It says, and lean not upon thine own understanding. What does that mean? That means you don't rely on yourself. How many of us sitting in here tonight would probably say, and being truthful, we do rely on ourselves a lot. We rely about a lot of things that happen in our life. We rely upon us to accomplish the things that have to be done. However, he tells us to lean not upon your own understanding. Why? Because his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That just means keep him first. You keep the Lord Jesus Christ number one in your life. I tell young people all the time, if you will keep God number one and keep you number two, you'll be in perfect fellowship. Because that's what God wants. He wants you to look to him and keep him first. And that's why he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. All thy ways. Every single thing. And then he says, he would direct your paths. When he says that, he just means, accept my guidance. If you go to the scriptures, and tonight I gave you some paper that had a lot of different scriptures in there that has a lot of meaning in there that you can use in your own life and your witness for Christ. You need to just accept his guidance in his life. God has a purpose for every single one that's in here tonight. There's no one sitting in here that you're out of the radar. Doesn't happen that way. A matter of fact, by the way, you're probably in God's radar a whole lot more than you think. Maybe that makes us change the way we think or the way we do certain things. So number one, when you are a committed Christian, it will cause you to trust. Number two, it will cause you to delight. Look at Psalms chapter 40, if you will, please. Psalms chapter 40. And in verse 8, here's what David says. He says, I delight to do thy will. Stop. David said he delighted to do his will. Everyone that's in here tonight, you all know that God has a will for each and every one of you. He has a purpose and a plan. Some people say, well, I'm not 100% sure what all that is yet, but I know he has a plan for my life. He saved me. He didn't save me to sit. He saved me to serve. So what should I be doing? Well, David said he delights to do his will. David gets great joy out of doing God's will in his life. Was he perfect? No. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, you will be happy in serving the Lord in whatever capacity that is. Every single person in here has something a little bit different about themselves than what someone else has. See, God's given each one of you a little niche, a little something special. So, we see that commitment will cause you to delight. But it's not only delighting in him, but look what it says in Numbers chapter 14, if you please. In Numbers chapter 14, if you'll look over and look at verse, verse 8. In verse 8, it says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. You know what this tells me? This tells me that God delights in you. When you are doing what God wants you to do, God delights in that. He's happy. God is happy with me. Let me tell you something. You pull one of these out and give it to somebody in the grocery store, You've made God happy. You know why? Because you just gave them an opportunity of maybe one day being able to know Him personally. God delights in us, and He wants us to delight in Him. So we see that commitment will cause you to trust. Commitment will cause you to delight. But then the last thing we want to look here is in Mark chapter 1. And if you please, Mark chapter 1, look over there. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to look down starting at verse 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came forth I forth. Now, keep in mind, Jesus, his domain and his area that he traveled, he primarily a lot in the Galilean area. And he had a lot of ministry there in Galilee. And so, no matter where he was, Jesus always seemed to draw a crowd. He knew how to get a crowd. Do you know how to get a crowd? I'll tell you what. If people would use what God has given them, they would probably be able to do a whole lot more for God just because they know how to be able to work and communicate and get the word of God out to people. Now, here's a situation in verse 39. It said, he preached in their synagogues and throughout Galilee, and he cast out devils. But I want you to look at verse 40 and 41. It says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, can thou make me clean? Look at verse 41, what Jesus said. It said, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and he said unto him, I will, be thou clean. You see, the leper asked him for something. He said, can you make me clean? That's what he said. He said that to the master. Wilt thou make me clean? And the master, he put his hands forth, he touched him, and he said, I will. And he cleansed him. Now, I like that because, number one, the third point of this is the fact that commitment will not only cause you to trust, not only will it cause you to delight, but commitment will cause you to do something else. Commitment will cause you to move. When you are a committed Christian, it will cause you to move. Here's a leper. He had a problem. But one of the things that he knew was, because of what he had heard and saw Jesus do, healing people, he knew that if he could get to the master, he knew that he could be healed. He knew that. Word gets around. You ever notice that? How long did it take any of us in here? I'm sure every single person in here now knows about what has been going on in the Middle East between Iran and Israel. That's on the other side of the world. News gets around, doesn't it? Whether it's good, whether it's bad. But in Jesus' case, it was good. And so here's this leper, and he ended up being healed. Why? Because he was committed to move. If you look down into chapter 2 of Mark, there's another situation. Down in verse 3, it talks about, and they came, and they're bringing him one sick of the palsy that was born of four. There were four men, that picked up this man that was sick of the palsy. And they took him, and they wanted to get him to Jesus, but they knew they had a problem. Because they couldn't even get to where Jesus was. But one of the vacant spots that they did see was the top of that house where Jesus was at. Well, we can't get to them. We'll get to them from going topside and come down. And that's exactly what they did. And they let him down. And when Jesus saw their faith, they said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." Now, might I say, the reason that man sick of the palsy was healed, because it wasn't one this time. Now it was a matter of four. There were four men who were committed to move. They were committed one way or the other to get that man to Jesus. I want to close out tonight by asking a question to you. Sometimes I just have to ask this question to myself. Now, I've been saved for over 55 years. But sometimes I just have to ask the question, "Bob, are you committed?" When I was told in 1997 that what we were about to embark in would never work, it would never happen, might I say, it wasn't because of who I am. It's because of who He is and what He is able to do. I was committed by God's grace to start something that would give young people an opportunity. You heard witness tonight on the video from individuals. And a matter of fact, in a matter of 5.5 weeks, I will be leaving for New Zealand. When I get to New Zealand, one of the men that I'm going to be working with there is one of my Timothys that traveled with me in 2003, and he's planting a church over there. Lewis is committed. He's committed to the people, to the Kiwis of New Zealand. Are you committed? Many of you maybe have heard about this track. My wife wrote this track during COVID, but it's about her father. Back in the 50s, her father, after he had come back from the war, went to Bible college, got a little church in Ohio, God had stricken him down with polio. As a matter of fact, the whole family got polio. If you look on the inside, you can see a picture of the family in here. You can see my wife as a little girl. Mom, Dad, her brothers, they all got polio except for Mom. Her dad could not do anything on his own. As a matter of fact, he couldn't even breathe on his own. He had to wear a respirator that moved his abdominals. He had to sleep in a rocking bed at night so he could breathe. Every bit of food that the man consumed was put into his mouth by someone else. You see, Joyce's dad had to take care, or Mom had to take care of her daddy for 26 years. You imagine, he had just got a little church, just got started off, had a young family, and now he can't even breathe on his own. He can't even carry on a regular conversation in a normal sentence because of the interruption of the movement of the respirators that he had to wear. Might I say that he was downtrodden, but he was not defeated. And the reason for it is because he decided, well, if I can't stand at my pulpit, I'm going to make a typewriter my pulpit. And he took a writing course. And a man that had a stick in his mouth in his 30s decided that one letter at a time in an electric typewriter, he was going to type a newsletter, which they became a nonprofit organization. For 26 years, every single month, her daddy, Art Gordon, typed a letter to encourage people not to give up, that there was hope. A 6-page letter, mind you, every single month. You can actually go on the internet right now. There's a blog that Joyce and her brothers have started. All those papers that he typed with a stick in his mouth are on the internet. I have this track back here. What can I say about Art Gordon? Art was committed. He was committed for the cause. He was committed to Christ. And he said, in whatsoever state I am, I'm going to be content. If I can't put a piece of toast in my mouth, somebody else will do it for me. If I can't do anything, if I can't shave in the morning, my wife will shave me. But might I say, he was determined. He was a committed Christian. So, when you're committed, it'll cause you to trust, it'll cause you to delight, and it'll cause you to move. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all that you have done. Lord, I thank you for the missionary outreach that this church has. I thank you for Pastor. And I just pray, Father God, that you'll continue to take this church. Lord, may it be a lighthouse to people that need to hear the gospel. I pray, Father, that you will take someone in this congregation, even tonight, and Lord, move in their heart and in their life. And Lord, help them to have more of a desire to take the gospel and to give it out somehow, some way, to be involved some way in their local church and to do what they can to serve you. Thank you, Father, for how you work and what you do. Lord, we just put it all over into your hands and trust you for what you're going to accomplish in your good pleasure. In Jesus' name.